All right, so get ready because today we are diving deep, deep into a Vatican mystery. A mystery that might just leave you with chills, you know?
Intriguing. I'm ready.
We've got a whole bunch of stuff to go through today: historical records, whispers, secrets, even some notes here. Looks like somebody was a little freaked out by religious stories, huh?
Well, those could be pretty intense sometimes, can they?
Yeah, no kidding. Don't worry though, we'll approach this with open minds, you know. We're gonna examine the story and the context, all that good stuff. But just a heads up, folks, get ready for some serious twists and turns because this one is a wild ride.
Sounds like it.
So, to set the scene, let's go back in time, way back to the year 1742. And that's where we meet our first player in this whole saga, a nun, Josephine Rosenthal.
Okay.
Now, Josephine, well, Phoebe becomes pregnant, and you might be thinking, okay, that happens, right? But here's the catch. She insists she's never been with a man. Never.
A virgin birth.
That's what she claimed. And to make things even wilder, get this, doctors at the time, they actually confirmed her virginity.
Wow. So back then, I mean, imagine what people must have thought. It was either a miracle straight from heaven or something a lot darker.
Right, a divine miracle or some kind of terrifying, you know, anomaly, something to fear.
Definitely. And this is where things take a bit of a turn, a darker turn, sadly. Josephine, she didn't make it, didn't survive childbirth.
Oh no.
But her daughter, Maria, she did survive. And from the moment she was born, it was clear that Maria was, well, she was different.
Different how?
She was born with both male and female traits. We know this now as intersex. But back in the 18th century, think about it, they just didn't understand it. They struggled with anything outside those strict categories.
Right, the binary, male or female, anything else, people just didn't know what to make of it.
Exactly.
So this is where Maria's story, it just becomes heartbreaking, honestly. It said that every little thing that went wrong, any bad luck, every ill wind that blew through that church, it was all blamed on her.
Oh, wow.
Can you even imagine, like, being a child, a kid, carrying that weight, the weight of all that fear and superstition just because you're different?
That's a classic example of scapegoating, isn't it? Happens all the time, even today, sadly. People get scared, they don't understand something, and boom, they got to find someone to blame.
Yeah, and sadly, it's usually someone who's already vulnerable who stands out in some way.
Right. Historically, it's always been those who don't fit in, you know, the ones who challenge those neat little boxes society tries to put us all in. It's important to note, though, that, I mean, the story about all the misfortunes being blamed on Maria, it's out there, sure, but our sources, they don't actually confirm it, you know.
So it could be fact, or it could just be part of the legend, the mystery surrounding her.
Exactly. Which is why, you know, critical thinking is key here, folks. Got to question what we hear, you know, and think about how a story might have been twisted or changed over time.
Always good advice. So here we have Maria living under this cloud of fear and suspicion. And then when she reaches the age of 33, same age, think about it, same age as Jesus at his death, things take another dark turn. There are accounts, some accounts that suggest, well, the church, they saw her as a genuine threat and they were actually planning to get rid of her.
That's what some of those more, let's say, sensational stories claim. But the truth is, before anything could happen to her, Maria, well, she took her own life.
Oh, wow. What a tragic story. So sad.
It is. And what's even more disturbing is how the church reacted.
How did they react?
They removed her head, they sealed it in a box, and then they hid it deep, deep within the Vatican. Buried it, basically.
Wow, that's chill. And why would they do that?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it? Was it fear? Were they trying to suppress something they couldn't understand or control? Or was there, you know, something else going on entirely? Something we haven't even considered. This is where we gotta step back and really think about the power dynamics at play here.
You've got this young woman, ostracized, feared just for being different, driven to such a tragic end. And then, even in death, she's not allowed peace. Like they're trying to erase her, wipe her from existence.
And that act, the hiding of the head, it speaks volumes. It really does. Tells you a lot about the power of the church back then. 18th century Europe, the church was everything. Spiritual authority, political power, you name it. And anything that challenged that power, anything different, it was a threat.
A threat to be contained.
Exactly. And that takes us right back to that scapegoating idea, doesn't it? If Maria was something they didn't understand, well, then it's easier to make her the problem, the source of all the bad stuff, than to actually confront the world, the complexities of life.
Absolutely. It's a way to hold on to control to maintain that power structure. And silencing those who don't fit in, well, that's a pattern that keeps repeating throughout history, doesn't it? It really makes you wonder, were there others, other Marias throughout history, people whose stories were buried, their voices silenced, all because they dared to be different, dared to challenge the way things were?
Undoubtedly. And that's what we dig, right? We have to look beyond the official story, the accepted version, and find those hidden voices. Because it's often in those forgotten accounts, those marginalized voices, that we find the real truth, the truth about our past.
Absolutely. So if Maria's story is true, what does it tell us? What does it say about the power structures back then? And could something like this happen today, even if it looks different?
That's the big question, isn't it? We might not see those exact same kinds of persecutions happening now, but the mechanisms, the things behind it all, the fear, the prejudice, the silencing, that's all still very much alive and well, sadly.
Still with us in different forms.
Think about how some groups are still marginalized, their voices ignored. It's like we're still battling those same forces, even centuries later. What can we do, you know, to challenge those structures, to make those silenced voices heard? That's where critical thinking comes in. We have to question those narratives we're given, look for different perspectives, be wary of those who try to divide us. It's about recognizing that our differences, that's what makes us strong. Diversity is strength, not a weakness.
I like that. Diversity is strength. It's so true. And it's tragic that Maria was seen as this threat when really she was just a human being, just trying to live her life in a world that just didn't understand her.
And that's where empathy plays a crucial role. We got to try to see the world through other people's eyes, understand their experiences even when they're different from our own, recognize that shared humanity, you know, we're all in this together despite our differences.
Okay, so we've covered a lot of ground here. Maria's story, the context, the bigger themes of scapegoating, silencing. But what does it all mean for our listeners, right? The people out there listening to us right now, how can they apply this to their own lives?
It's about awareness, about recognizing that those things, they don't just exist in history books. They're happening all around us, every day. Pay attention to the language we use, the assumptions we make, and ask yourself, are we contributing to those harmful patterns? Because we all do, sometimes, without even realizing it.
So it's not just about learning about history. It's about using that knowledge to build a better present, a better future.
Exactly. History isn't just some, you know, collection of dusty old stories. It's a living thing. It shapes the world we live in right now. And if we understand those patterns, those echoes of the past, we can be better equipped to challenge them. And that's how we create a better world. A more just world, a more equitable world.
A more compassionate world.
Yeah. And that actually brings us back to that note we saw earlier, the one about, you know, religious stories being scary. It's not about religion itself, but about how those stories can be used. You to control, to manipulate, to create fear and division.
Yeah, that's a good point.
We got to be critical consumers of information. No matter where it comes from, question everything, seek out different points of view, and be open to challenging our own beliefs.
Because at the end of the day, it's about thinking for ourselves, forming our own opinions, and building a world that's more understanding, more compassionate.
Well said. Well said.
Now, getting back to Maria's story, I think we kind of left off with the church's reaction to her death and, well, what happened after that.
Right. Remember, they hit her head, sealed it away deep inside the Vatican. And that leads us to some even more interesting and I'd say spooky details. Because even though they tried to erase her, well, some say Maria refused to be silenced.
Interesting. What do you mean?
Well, there are rumors, stories whispered in the Vatican corridors about sightings. Nuns claiming to have seen Maria, her ghost, wandering the halls, still searching, some say, for her missing head.
A ghost story, wow. Whether you believe in ghosts or not, there's no denying the power of that image, right? This young woman, so misunderstood in life, and now, even in death, she's still being blamed, seen as a source of trouble.
It's a perfect example of how scapegoating can last. Can follow someone even after they're gone. It's like, even in death, Maria is still that symbol of something to be feared, something to be hidden away.
It's heartbreaking, really.
It is. But it's also a reminder, a powerful reminder, of the importance of remembering those who have been silenced, of questioning those in power, and of staying for the world where difference isn't something to be feared, but something to be celebrated.
Absolutely.
Because at the end of the day, we're all connected. We all share this planet, this human experience. And the more we understand each other, the more we embrace our differences, the better off we'll all be.
Well said. And on that note, I think it's time we wrap up part one of our deep dive into the mystery of Maria Rosenthal.
A fascinating story indeed.
But we're not done yet. We've got more to uncover, more to explore. So join us next time as we continue our journey into this chilling Vatican mystery.
And in the meantime, folks, keep those lights on. You never know who might be lurking in the shadows.
Until next time.
It's like they tried to just make her disappear, like she never existed.
Yeah, but some stories, some truths, they just refuse to be buried, don't they?
Exactly. And that brings us to some, well, let's just say some more intriguing aspects of this whole story. Because even though the church tried to erase Maria, some say she's still around.
Still around? You mean like her spirit?
That's right. There are rumors, whispers you hear in the Vatican, stories of sightings. Nuns claiming to have seen Maria, her ghost, wandering the halls, still searching, they say, for what they took from her.
Wow, that's creepy. So even in death, she's not allowed to rest. It's like they're still blaming her, still afraid of her.
It all circles back to that scapegoating, doesn't it? It's powerful, and it can stick around for a long, long time, even after someone is gone. Even in death, Maria is a symbol of something to be feared, something to be hidden away.
It's almost as if her story is a warning, a reminder of what can happen when we let fear and prejudice control us.
Exactly. And that's why it's so important to remember these stories, to learn from them. We have to keep questioning, keep challenging those in power. We can't let the voices of the marginalized be silenced.
So what do we do? How do we fight against that kind of deep-seated fear and prejudice?
Well, for starters, we need to be aware of it. Recognize that it exists, not just in the past, but in our world today. We have to pay attention to the language we use, the assumptions we make. We all have biases, whether we realize it or not.
It's about looking inward as much as it's about looking outward, right?
Absolutely. It starts with each of us examining our own beliefs, challenging our own prejudices. And then we need to be willing to speak up, to stand up for those who are being marginalized, those whose voices are being silenced.
It's about using our voices to amplify the voices of others, to create a chorus of change.
I love that. A chorus of change, that's exactly what we need. We need to create a world where difference is celebrated, not feared. Where everyone feels safe, everyone feels heard.
A world where everyone belongs.
Yes, that's the goal, isn't it? And I think Maria's story, as tragic as it is, can help guide us towards that goal. It can remind us of what we don't want to repeat, what we need to fight against.
Okay, I'm going to shift gears for a second. I think we should touch on those podcasting guidelines, you know, the ones that were included in our research material.
Oh, right, the notes about how to make a good podcast.
Exactly. It says here, let's see, avoid simply parroting information. Okay, well, I think we've definitely avoided that.
Definitely, we've gone way beyond just repeating the facts. We've analyzed, we've interpreted, we've connected the dots.
We've really tried to dig deep to understand the story, the context, the implications.
And I think it's working, don't you? I mean, I hope our listeners are finding this as fascinating as we are.
I hope so, too. Okay, so where were we? Ah, yes, back to Maria. And that question we posed earlier, should something like this happen today?
That's the question that keeps coming back to me. And honestly, I think the answer is yes. It could, maybe not in the exact same way, maybe not with the same players, but the underlying forces, the fear, the prejudice, the desire to control, to silence dissent, those things are still very much present in our world.
So we need to be vigilant. We need to learn from the past and apply those lessons to the present.
Absolutely. We can't afford to be complacent. We can't just sit back and assume that history won't repeat itself. We have to be actively engaged in creating the kind of world we want to live in.
A world where a story like Maria's would be unthinkable.
Exactly. A world where difference is celebrated, not feared. Where everyone feels safe, everyone feels heard. A world where everyone belongs.
Exactly. And, you know, it's like that saying, what is it? Those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it.
Yeah, that's a good one. A powerful reminder.
We can't let Maria's story, whether it's all completely true or maybe embellished over time, we can't let it be in vain.
No, we can't. Her story, even if it's, you know, just an echo of the past, it still serves as that warning. It reminds us of what happens when power goes unchecked, when people just blindly follow, blindly believe. And it reminds us how dangerous it is to dehumanize people, to label them as different and then, you know, treat them as less than human.
It really underscores the importance of, you know, critical thinking, questioning what we're told, and especially being a voice for those who are silenced, who are marginalized.
Absolutely. It's a call to action for all of us to be more aware, more empathetic, and you know what? More courageous. We got to be courageous enough to challenge injustice wherever we see it.
So as we wrap up this deep dive into the mystery of Maria Rosenthal, what's the one thing you really hope our listeners take away from all of this, from this conversation?
I'd say remember Maria. Remember this story and let it be that reminder that history is full of silenced voices, of stories that have been buried, forgotten. Seek those stories out, question those official narratives, the accepted versions of history, and be a voice. Be a voice for the people who are marginalized, the people history has forgotten.
That's a powerful message. Really powerful.
Thank you.
And for everyone listening out there, always remember, keep that curiosity alive. Never stop asking questions. And, you know, most importantly, Always be kind to each other.
Could have said it better myself. Keep learning, keep exploring, and keep those lights on, folks.
Until next time.